Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti, my fabulous co-host, Squirrel Rourke. Hi, Squirrel.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everyone, this evening.
You're so cute.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
We love your questions, and we just want you to know if you have any questions during the show, you can email them to Squirrel, and Squirrel, you give them your email address.
Of course, it's Squirrel, S-Q-U-I-R-R-E-L, at WYOM.net.
Perfect. All right. Excuse me. I'm a little beat up this week, but I'll be fine. Shadow work, a spiritual imperative. All the things that we've denied and disowned are in our shadow, light and dark. We prefer to think of ourselves as light, spiritual, caring, loving, but there is the dark part of ourselves, the disowned part of ourselves that must be integrated. Hidden in the shadow is also the beautiful things, the gifts and treasures that are forgotten. When you work with your shadow, you can access both. Why is shadow work so important? It's very simple. What you don't own will be reflected to you in your lives. The dark parts of yourself that you're afraid to own will come at you as reflections in your world and in the universe. This is a very important show on many levels. We're a network of people, star beings that agreed to work together to bring healing and integration to not only ourselves but to the universe. We cannot heal what we don't own and love. And, Squirrel, you've got the handy-dandy astrology report.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hold on, everyone. This is huge astrology that's coming up to us in the skies. And so be patient with me. And this is from Buddha. The way is not in the sky. The way is in the heart. So even though it's in the sky, we're going to be feeling this one through us. This comes up next Monday, which is the 29th, everyone. There will appear a very rare Star of David, a hexagram, created by two overlapping grand trines, one in water and one in earth, aligning in mystical sacred geometry. I'm giving you a heads up today, as all rare planetary configurations bring a huge opportunity with them, but you have to consciously co-create the shifts you need. Grand trines are flowing, harmonious, and in one sense, easy. You feel you don't have to do anything but lie back and enjoy it. That would be to miss a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Metaphysically, the star tetrahedron, which is the Star of David, is a Merkaba from the Hebrews, the Egyptian, the prime pattern that created all things. Mer, a light spinning within itself, Ka, human spirit, and Ba, the human body. So as the hexagon is forming overhead, it's a sacred moment in space to fuse your higher and lower self, body and soul, psyche and soma. There is fertile potential to synthesize separate, neglected, broken, tender parts of yourself. Astrologers have applied more than one name to this week's historic, even unique interconnection of every sign ruler. Some have called it a double trine, some a grand sextile, even a diamond tetrahedron, but no word or phrase takes it all in. Nevertheless, you can say that the Taurus moon will be the key. And these grand sextiles do not happen every year. A Uranus-Pluto squares are nearly a century apart, or a year-long grand trine water anchored in Neptune from Pisces is without a reliably demonstrated precedent. And I think that goes back to before the Civil War, if I'm correct on that. It's been a while. So it is of the body more than the mind, hence the Sanskrit word for moon is soma. So that's what we're getting. And to have the moon in its last quarter be the key to an arguably unprecedented alignment of the solar system in relation to Earth is for you to know through your body as much as through your mind that our crisis at this time in history is also unprecedented in its danger, its opportunity, and its resolution. You don't have to change the world or even your life. You just have to stop thinking of yourself as separate from other people, from the earth, from the universe. All you have to do is count yourself in and make that counting the arbiter of all you think, say, and do for as long as you inhabit your body. Somebody has to go first. Somebody said the water's fine. Len Wallach wrote that.
Beautiful.
I know.
Also, for all you listeners, this is also the, some call it the Star of David, some call it also, it is the sign of Sirius. And since Sirius is really in charge of our whole integration and evolution right now, including contact, I think they're orchestrating it. They are not going to be first to arrive. But I just think it's really, really, really significant.
And I was going to say, too, if anybody wants to see the chart, which I have the chart, and it's called the Star of David Natal Chart, I will send it to you if you're interested in that. So email me if you would like it.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you, Squirrel, as always.
Oh, yeah.
You're wonderful. Okay. A few updates. I think 2 weeks ago, I talked about Carol Long, the amazing animal communicator. And I gave out the wrong email address on her. Her correct email address is carol@carollong.net, not .com. Okay, I did send out a notice on it. But for those of you that don't get the newsletters, just know, and you can go onto my website and sign up for them. The information that is coming through the animals right now, and she has shared some of the readings, as long as there was permission from the person who has the animal. I have to tell you, the level and dimension of these readings is so extraordinary. Wonderful opportunity for you to learn more about your own path, because these animals are sharing from a higher perspective why they're here and why they are with you. And it's just mind-boggling. And as I said before, the team brought to her an invitation from the animal kingdom. She was not an animal communicator at the time, but she is now. And it was really quite beautiful. So, you know, I recommend her highly, highly. And the people that have had readings are just thrilled. Okay, the shadow. You know, we've done shows on the shadow before, but it's so important right now, and needless to say, with this big configuration coming up. As the work with the reptilians and draconians is accelerating because they are in people's chakras, not all, but I've been amazed at how they're showing up, how conflicted they are. The team, God bless them, is holding meetings constantly. There's so many negotiations going on, and many of them come in just to ask to meet with the team. Some are very unhappy, certainly because we are moving forward and are acknowledging our connectedness, why we're here. They're also concerned because so many of you are becoming empowered and moving into your great work. Let's talk about the shadow. The shadow was born with us and will make its transition with us. It will leave with us. It came in to hold all of the things that we've been unable to deal with, both light and dark, from the time of our birth. Because we chose to come to a planet with the restricted consciousness that Earth has, we knew we wouldn't be able to handle it all, and our shadow has lovingly held it for us. Light and dark, because we can go into overwhelm with light as well as dark. How do you know that you have things in your shadow? I love this question. Look at your life. Okay, what comes at you? Injustice, unfairness, abuse, disregard. Those are only a few of the things. Okay, I recommend everybody write down a list of you know, what do you see reflected to you in your life? And also look at what you judge the most, what triggers you. These are signs that there are things in your shadow that need to be dealt with. The shadow also holds the thoughts and things you believe. If people knew, they wouldn't like you or love you. It's linked to shame because you stuff things that are shameful as well. And this happens from the time we're little. So some of these things we may not be conscious of, but as we work with it, we'll become conscious. And I can tell you, for all the shadow work I've done, and I've done a ton, okay. It's extraordinary work, absolutely extraordinary work. And it's imperative to integrate your shadow. So I'm going to give you some of the examples in my life because it's very difficult for me to do that for others. That I shoved and shoved and handed to my shadow. As a child, I was incredibly psychic. And I came in talking about the life of Christ and, you know, pointing out things that weren't correct and which didn't go over very well. And I frightened a lot of people. And as a result, I was kept locked up a lot and treated like there was something to be ashamed of, something that I should be ashamed of. So I shut it down and handed it to my shadow, and I only discovered it at Debbie Ford's workshop, and this is when Debbie was still alive. And this was in 2001. Now, when I discovered it, it was such a thrill because I realized why I had shut it down. And the gift was re-embracing of my psychic gifts fully. But, you see, I walked around with the idea that there was something wrong with me. And all that was wrong with me is that who I was too much for the adults to handle. I came in too light, and many of you came in way too light. Another example for me was all the rage I held for my ex-husband and didn't know it. And I was in overwhelm and terrified of him. For years, he told my son that he was lucky that he didn't kill me. My son was lucky he didn't kill me. And now he even did put a bomb in my car, but he took it out before I went to work because he was afraid that my son might go in and start the car. There's so much more to this story, and it's really nauseating, but, you know, I didn't necessarily take the easiest path.
Jackie, I mean, I'd be afraid, too, of somebody like that.
Well, and I was literally a prisoner. I mean, I had no access to money or anything, so I couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I shoved not only the fear, but also the memories into the shadow. I mean, literally, I couldn't remember. My son would talk about things, and I had no memory of them. Zero. And I couldn't even access them. It was like I had amnesia. And the list goes on and on and on. It's just not pretty. And it wasn't that it was all bad, okay? But I didn't know what good was, and I had no reference for normal because of the way I grew up. So, but when my son went into rehab, he started asking questions about different events that happened because his father lives up where he's in rehab and would bring these things up. And it triggered the shadow. It literally triggered the shadow. And I all of a sudden had access. And I realized then where the cancer came from because I could never figure out what I carried anger about. I worked on everything. And cancer of the bladder is anger. I mean, come on. So, And there it all was, right there in my shadow. Now, honestly, I walked around for about 3-4 days. I think I used every swear word ever spoken. And while people tried to calm me down, and I said, no, 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 you don't understand. I need to get this out. I need to express it. And then I need to forgive myself and go on for being so damned angry and for allowing all of it. But what was interesting in the interim from the time here recently that I made the discovery is that I continue to attract men of low integrity who are divisive. And I could not understand what was wrong with me that I continued to do that. I just couldn't get it in. And of course, it was coming at me because it was in my shadow. So, it's like radar. It just pulls them right in until you deal with it, heal it, integrate it, forgive yourself, you're stuck with it. And eventually I stopped trusting my choices around men, just decided my picker was broken, and decided it was easier to be alone.
Well, I mean, somehow it got integrated into a belief that you had then, right?
Well, that's the problem. You see, you don't know that you have the belief if you haven't cleared the shadow.
Right.
I didn't really believe that all men were like that. I really anticipated that they would be totally different. But yes, at a subconscious level, of course I carried that belief. That's the interesting thing. All the things that you feel shame over are in the shadow, including the terrible thoughts that people can have, especially when they feel helpless and disempowered. And it's a real conflict for many, many, especially spiritual people. The path of the razor's edge. I have recommended this book before. I'm going to recommend it again. The Dark Side of the Light Chasers by Debbie Ford. It is a great workbook to discover things that are hiding in the shadow. She has all these words, and literally you go through them and you see what triggers you. And I did so much work with this book myself. And when I finally met Debbie Ford, I told her, I said, you know, I'm coming to your damn workshop and you've damn near killed me. I ended up not only working on my shadow, but the shadow of Earth and the shadow of the body because I had just had cancer surgery. So I was like, you know, come on. I didn't want to go to the workshop, in case you were wondering.
Kicking and screaming.
Absolutely, all the way there. So what do you do with the things that are in the shadow? Because if you work with Debbie's book, it will start opening up to you. And as it does, I mean, she's done this book very, very, very well. And where you all are today, even if you've read it in the past, you'll get 100 times more out of it today. So what do you do with the things? You acknowledge them. Acknowledge what you did, thought, spoke, how you acted. Embrace it as part of being human. Bring it out and really look at it, because when you do, you will find that it's never as bad as you think. And then forgive yourself and move on. Thank your shadow for holding it as well. And when you do all of this, you will usually find a beautiful treasure, a gift, some kind of gift in there. Perhaps it's reclaiming your sense of adventure or your beauty or your innocence or your dignity. This is how people get their dignity stripped and stripped and stripped. Remember also that you're not the same you, okay, that did any of these things, okay, and that hid them. Have compassion for that version of yourself. There's much work that can be done here, including giving that version of yourself a different outcome, and you can do that meditatively. Just like you give your child an adolescent, new parents, give that version of yourself a different outcome. Okay? And you can do that There are an infinite number of versions of you. There's no reason you can't do that one. And remember again that you are not the same you that hit these things. Have compassion for that version of yourself. There's much work that can be done here, including giving that version of yourself a different outcome. Lazarus has always said that shadow work is a spiritual imperative, and it is. And the more that I deal with the draconians and the reptilians, the more I realize where they left their shadow, so they were unable to integrate it. How conflicted they are, which I have even more compassion for them. And in order to create a new world and a new kind of human being, we cannot take on that assignment. And that intent without integrating our shadow. This is part of the work we absolutely committed to do. How can you inspire others while believing that you have or are terribly flawed because of the things that are in your shadow, including all your judgments? Just working with Debbie's book will assist you greatly to get in touch with your shadow. Your sense of joy and value will soar. You will realize that you're not a flawed human being, but one that perhaps made mistakes, did things that they're ashamed of, but when you see that you were operating with a limited level of consciousness and emotional maturity, you will be so relieved. Remember, even allowing others to control you and cross personal boundaries can end up in the shadow. You know better, but you feel helpless to change it. And I know many women who have allowed unbelievable things with men and felt helpless to stop it. It was like they were frozen. You know, things that to me are rape. You know, and I've seen this over and over again with people. It's quite amazing. So, you and your higher self can also take it to the goddess and ask her to help you transmute the shame. She always says yes, and you will find other beings there who will assist you as well. Remember to change your beliefs about yourself around any issues you may discover. Here we go back to beliefs, okay? Because the beliefs will surface. You'll go, you know, when you start pulling this stuff up, as I did with my ex-husband, I was like, oh my God, do I need to change my beliefs? especially about the one that my picker was broken.
Yeah, how's that working for you now, Jackie?
I don't know right now. I'm dealing with all these beings on the other side of the veil. I haven't had a chance to even look up at a man. Although, yeah, I've had a few little... anyway, back to this conflict for people on the spiritual path. The conflict for you is that you do things that are contrary to that path, and they suffer from a feeling of unworthiness, all of you. And you all hold yourselves back from allowing all the love that our unseen friends have for us, including God, Goddess, all it is. You won't believe you deserve it, and this is the reason the team works with people all the time about being willing to receive love. The sense of being flawed is a big one. And in our process of healing ourselves, you will learn to truly love unconditionally, not only yourself, but others. When you can love yourself unconditionally, it's a no-brainer to love others unconditionally. In the work with reptilians and draconians, I find that I have unconditional love for them. They've gotten angry and said that we're manipulating some of them with love. And, of course, unconditional love is not manipulation. I'm sorry. It is love without condition. And it comes from your very soul. They, too, are sparks of the infinite experiencing itself through them. How can you not love the infinite? You're, again, back into the shadow. the things that you haven't dealt with, the judgments that you carry, are projected out into the universe. We don't ever stop projecting them. And in order for these races to heal, it will help them as well, the more work you do with your own shadow. The team is doing an incredible job meeting with all of them, and they come in and ask to meet with the team in groups, by the way. Some want to plead their case and negotiate. They feel we are shifting the balance of power. But there are also those that just come just to experience being loved and express that they're afraid to truly receive it because they will be cast out. Some of them are just tired warriors. We fear our own dark, so of course we fear them. I had a client who had discomfort around the draconians, the reptilians, and the Anunnaki. She was pulling the chain in one of her chakras, and she went into shock because she said, "Oh my God, I'm a reptilian pulling this chain." So it shocked her, and her question was, "Can this be?" And my answer for all of this for everybody is, just like we've all been everything on Earth, or most of all of us have, and not everybody, why would you not experience the other side of light and try the dark? You can't appreciate the light, love the light, unless you do. And, the choice itself is, okay, I want to experience myself as separate from my source as I can. And, you have those that can consult with you and so on as you're choosing a lifetime. Again, I want to say these beings are very powerful. They're the most unbelievable shapeshifters. And in order to really understand them, you would have to choose a lifetime as them to do it. We even had a race of beings come in and ask for the team to help them because they were having problems with the draconians. And they also went to meet with the team. The team is very busy these days. God bless them. Obviously, they knew all this was coming.
You think?
Mm-hmm. So remember, if you can forgive them, you'll be able to forgive yourself. And you'll stop projecting it onto everyone. You'll find that your fear factor disappears. Your fear factor on the planet and off the planet. This one I promise you. And Squirrel, you had something you were going to share tonight, which is a perfect place to insert it.
Okay. It's about compassion. Compassion, a deep awareness of the suffering of another without the need to relive it, feeling total appreciation for its value, a state of non-judgment. And the rest of that is, compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It's a relationship between equals. Only when we know our own darkness well can we be present with the darkness of others. Compassion becomes real when we recognize our shared humanity, or even beyond humanity, I guess. And this is from Pema Chodron, which I thought was lovely. I mean, it's a different
Absolutely
way of looking
beautiful.
At it. Yeah.
It, I look at it as all the ways that God experiences itself, becoming more of itself through. We are all one. And, there was something you read earlier about the oneness, with this astrological configuration.
Right.
And I can honestly say I feel that oneness more now than I have ever felt it. It's tangible. I mean, really tangible with everything. absolutely everything, except for the snails.
What?
Isn't that terrible?
We have an exception list now, do we?
Yeah, we haven't accepted that. Just the snails. I've forgotten Hollister that they have big bands. You know, they come in with, you know, clashing cymbals and everything. And they just eat everything in sight. I tried talking to them.
Yeah. Should have called the team in.
Yeah. Yes, that's true, Squirrel. Thank you for reminding me. All right, everyone. All right. All right, now you know why we love our channel. She does have a sense of humor. All right. The shadow. Oh, it sounds so ominous, doesn't it? Only the shadow knows. When, in fact, the shadow is really quite loving. All right. To be willing to be with you through an entire lifetime. Now, for many of you, especially in childhood, you sensitive star beings, you know, with mom or dad, you know, spanking your bottom or patting your hand, no, 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 no. For them, and imagine even being born, you come out of this lovely womb and you're smacked on the butt, put on a cold table and things are put in your eyes and whatever. You're in a room with bright lights, all bundled up. Quite shocking, actually. Many experiences. For some of you, and we bring this up because some of you have had these experiences, some of you have had abortions and still carry a sense of shame, found it impossible to look at, okay, perhaps even unforgivable. Some of you have justified it, but still carry the shame around it. These are the kinds of things that you find in the shadow. A boyfriend that cheated on you, or a husband. All right. You know the ones where you wanted to drive your car through the living room of the girlfriend. All right. All right. You're humans, dear ones. You're humans. Those of you who have abused drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever. Many of you who didn't want to share that, or parts of it, put that in the shadow as well. Oh God, that's too terrible to even look at. I can't imagine that I did that. But you see, if you can lovingly embrace yourself and love yourself unconditionally and go back to that version of you at that timing and meditation, be there for them, console them, look, I'm your future self, you did what you did. All right. But I'm going to create a different outcome for you. All right. And you can go on and live that life, that version. And people, this is real. This really does work. Just like you do for your child and adolescent, give that to them. Especially if you encounter something that's so filled with shame. There's no way for them to deal with it. All right. They haven't forgiven themselves. They can't stand the thought that they did it. Even as children, you know, how many children or adolescents have wished their parents dead? Boom, right in the shadow. They go to church on Sunday and, oh, God, that was terrible. I'm a sinner. Now, your judgments, and these are a very big issue. Okay, what do you judge? What triggers you when you, oh, look at that, that son of a gun. Look at what they're doing over there. How can they get away with that? They should be punished. And in most cases, what you're saying is you should be punished. It's a hard one. Right? So it's the very things that you judge yourself, right? Reflected in the world, you judge them as well. We really do recommend that you get to Debbie Ford's book and really do some work with it. You don't have to do it constantly every day, but work with it. What's in there? She's laid it out very nicely to help you to get to. We'll give you an example the channel didn't give you. At the time she was reading Debbie's book, she found out someone was coming to the town she lived in. Very small town, very precious town. Carmel in California. And she felt this person was divisive, right? Not authentic. She had a lot of judgment. She knew him well. And she couldn't understand why she was so upset about it, why this was bothering her so much, as though she was the sole person responsible for protecting everyone in Carmel. And as she was going through Debbie's book, it clicked. Oh my. Oh my. And what was in her shadow, you see, was her great fear. And she carried this all her life, that you could be spiritual and yet be out of integrity. And she feared coming forward herself in any capacity. She didn't mind doing readings spontaneously for people to do, you know, but the negative ego scared her because she saw it come out in so many people who held themselves out as gurus. So her judgment turned out to be her own personal fear. She promptly changed that. And what was really interesting is this person came to town and he was wonderful. Had assisted her through her surgery, and he was from India and did many prayers and so on. He turned out to be a great gift, you see. These are the things that will trip you up, people. Now, we love all of you. And it is time, because you don't realize yet where you're all going. You don't realize, as a group, the impact that you're having. And it's far bigger than you realize. Believe us when we say, you've got the attention of many beings on the other side. because they see the probable futures, you see, of what you're here to do, to create a new human, an enlightened human, an empowered human, beyond anything that you could have imagined. Now, the Star of David, the squirrel, as you call it, there's also a huge configuration with Sirius that you may not see, and people may not talk about. But this is the beginning of a cycle. It's going to be highly accelerated. Where you're going to find that you have greater access to your higher self, to your unseen friends, if you will take the time to meditate. Accelerated growth. You're moving into this period of with grace. With grace. Monday is a benchmark, much bigger one than you know. All right, Squirrel, you've got some questions.
I do have some questions tonight. Okay, our first question comes from Elizabeth, and she writes, years ago, I realized during a Lazarus event about pain that many of my past lives involved torture, with me sometimes taking the role of torturer and sometimes that of the person being tortured. That led to memories of my early childhood in this lifetime when I started to be cruel. For example, trying to see how hard I had to pinch a baby to make it cry. I noticed a sadistic pleasure in it and made the decision to push that into my shadow and become a kind person in this lifetime. Realizing that my shadow is full of cruelty has made me much less judgmental of cruelty in others, but integration? I think I've owned that I have a very cruel streak, but I don't understand what it means by integration when it comes to shadow. Thank you.
Oh, Elizabeth, thank you, dear one. All right. Very good question. Integration means taking it out of the shadow and really looking at it and writing about it, all right? Now, Elizabeth, we know your personal story very, very well. Okay. You took on in this lifetime quite an extraordinary family dynamic. Now, there's several parts to this. And Elizabeth, you know it, but probably the listeners do not. Lazarus has talked many times about being able to find the light through the dark. That there are people that take the dark path to the light. All right? So if you could get to a place where you say, you know what, I took the dark path to the light in my own way, but I made a conscious choice in this lifetime not to do it. All right? This is a pivotal lifetime for you. You stepped out of it. And those other lifetimes at this point are not really important. The other thing is you did not feel empowered. There was so much conflict in your home, and you are so sensitive that in a way you were acting out. You had power over a baby. That was all that you could have power over. There was much hidden in your life. As a child, you were dealing with constant conflict in your family dynamic. So we would recommend that you go back to that little girl who pinched the baby and spend some time with her. Now you may have already given her different parents, but check in and see if those are the parents she still wants. She may want different parents. Allow her to come out into a life filled with joy. There'll be no reason for her to be sadistic when she has everything she can imagine, including love and joy and play and fun, and parents that love one another and adore her. That's integrating the shadow. It doesn't need to stay there. And then, you know what to do. You and your higher self go to the goddess and ask for her help to release this in its totality. In its totality. As we look at these lifetimes, by the way, they were brought on because of a loss of dignity that was so severe that you continued to carry the anger from lifetime to lifetime. And a power struggle. And Elizabeth, this is part of what you're dealing with in physically as well. Again, you're not that person in that other lifetime now. You may want to call them in as well. Send them as much light and love and healing as possible. You can even meet with the torturer and meet with the victim. Call them both in. Use your imagination, people. What did my child need? Because really what you've done is taken on the belief that you're intrinsically bad. That you brought this in and there's no way to change it. And that's not true. And then change the belief, Elizabeth. Please change the belief. We'll work with you and you know that. We thank you for your wonderful question, dear one. And we're excited to do some work with you on this particular belief and situation so that you can integrate it and not have the shadow carry it around. You see, this is part of your lack of deservability, why you gave things away, gave money away, barely taking care of yourself. I'm a bad person, therefore I don't deserve. It's all tied together. Know that we love you, dear one, as always. As always. Thank you for your wonderful question. All right. Do you have another?
I have two more. This next one, I think you've already answered, but I'll read it so that she will know that we addressed her question. This is from Yolanda, and she writes, I would like to know if there is a technique that I can use to work with my shadow. I went to Lazarus' website, and I was not able to find anything regarding working with my shadow, and she would appreciate any help with this. At this time, I feel like my life is standing still, and I feel very distraught. is this part of me changing because I feel so much overwhelmed with all of this? Please help me. Yolanda.
All right. Yes, Yolanda, you are feeling overwhelmed, and there are a lot of shifts going on. And there are things in your shadow. So it's letting you know. Again, buy the book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers by Debbie Ford. You can buy it even used on Amazon. This will help you, dear one. Do the work in the workbook. It's all one. It's going to help you so much. So much. And the feelings of being rejected and the feelings of not being enough and so on. We know that you've done a tremendous amount of work around this. But there's more. There's more. And feeling that you have to comply in order to keep the peace and so on and so forth. A lot of issues going on. And again, we will work with you in session around this. Know that we love you, dear one. All right. And tonight we're going to work with everyone around their shadow. All right. Thank you for your question, dear. By the way, there is nothing on the Lazara site. The channel did go in and do a lot of searching. She has a book somewhere that she thinks was the shadow book from Lazara's, but it doesn't appear to be in print. Perhaps it was just a journal, not certain. All right, next question.
Yes, this question, and I'm not sure who it's from, but this person writes, I just wanted to get your input on some recent awakenings I've been having. I recently just started finding about ET healing and the ascension, and briefly I will explain how this started. I have been dealing with very low self-esteem, which I have had since I can remember, mainly weight issues and bad acne. Anyway, last year, as weird as this may seem, I started having a daydream that I would fascinate about aliens actually helping me and healing me with very dramatic expectations. Well, one day, out of frustration with my issues, I just decided to Google alien healing, which to total amazement led me right to etmedical.com, which I explored that site over and over again. And I think this person is referring to Adrienne DeVere.
Yes.
From there, I was led to Jackie's website, and I almost feel like something is pushing me to take the next step, although I'm not sure what that is right now. I would actually lay in bed every night and hope that I might get a visit or communicate with a light entity or alien. I'm not sure if this has anything to do with anything, but over the past 7 years or so, I have been seeing the numbers 1111 and 111 everywhere. When I tried to Google it, if anyone else was experiencing the same thing, I came upon something called the harmonic convergence, which actually took place on my birthday, 8/16/87. Anyway, I really feel like I'm pushed to get further information. Sorry, he or she tried to shorten this as much as possible. Thank you for reading. I am open to any suggestions or advice.
All right, dear one. Well, we're at the top of the hour, so we don't have time, but we're going to address your question next week, if that's all right with you, because we feel it's a very important one. So do tune in next week or listen to it in the archives. And we will be happy to address your question. We were cut off. The station dropped the call. We send you our total, complete, unconditional love, dear one. Know that we will get back to this. We want to tell all of you, we only have a moment here, that we'd like to work with you tonight to help begin the shadow work, to help you feel comfortable, easy with this, instead of afraid of what you're going to find. We love you all so very much. We appreciate your courage, your commitment, your dedication to your process. you have yet to see how amazing your probable futures are. Amazing people, amazing. Know that you are loved more than you can imagine. And as always, we send our total, complete, unconditional love to all of you and to you, dear squirrel.
Oh, thank you.
Until we speak with you again in this format, dear ones. Namaste.
Namaste.